if they are a shepherd. Now, whether we're talking about sheep or whether we're talking about people, it's the same thing. When I was a shepherd of the sheep, during the summer, we led the sheep out into the different various fields to go ahead and graze, and they were fed. We led them to their food. But in the winter, when there was no longer any grass out there, we fed them bales of hay. So a shepherd leads or brings them to food, also feeds them himself. A shepherd protects them from the enemy. You know, I was just talking to my brother a few weeks ago, and he said he's had some loss of sheep this year, as he does many years, to predators, whether they're wolves or coyotes or perhaps an eagle. The lambs in particular are very vulnerable to predators, and sometimes they are lost. And in that sense, to a farmer, they are the enemy as they take from the flock. I've been out there in the field before. I told you this a few years ago, but this wasn't with the sheep, this is with the cattle. During calving season, and I was heading out to the field at about midnight before I went to bed. And I wanted to make sure if there's any of the cattle out there that were giving birth to a calf, that I could be there to help if need be. And I'm walking out there late at night with a flashlight, and I hear a pack of coyotes. Now, I'm already about a third of a mile or so from the house on the edge of a woods, and I'm getting a little bit yeesh. You ever had your hair stand on end a little bit? So I get to the end of the tree line, and I'm into the next field, and I shine my light up there. I see a whole bunch of eyes looking at me. It was the cattle. As a shepherd that day, the shepherd wanted to run away. But it was the cattle. It wasn't the coyotes that were looking at me at that point in time. But this is what a shepherd does. They protect the flock. They make sure they're not taken, or for that matter, taken advantage of. That's what a shepherd does. And a shepherd will also search for the lost sheep. When you don't have them all, you look for the lost one. You know the story of leaving the 99 to get the one. And a shepherd who loves their sheep will do that. They'll look for the one that is lost. Here's what a shepherd is not, and I'm going to get back into the text in a little bit, but you know, Ezekiel does explain this to us as we're reading this. He's talking about the shepherds. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. Because they haven't been accountable for the flock. They haven't been watching over the flock. They've been doing their own thing. They've been disobedient. They have not been doing what God called them to do, because he's the ultimate shepherd. He's a shepherd to the shepherds who are shepherds to the flock. What a shepherd is not. One who thinks about themselves instead of the flock. I could picture it kind of this way. In the modern world we live in today, a shepherd, and there's some coyotes over there, they're starting to make their way into the field, and they want to grab a lamb, and I'm on my iPhone playing Words with Friends. Shepherds don't do that. When they are taking care of their flock, they're taking care of their flock. Their attention is on the flock. As a farmer and shepherd, if you lose some of the flock, you also lose your income. So, I mean, there are reasons why you don't want anyone to harm your flock. But shepherds think about the flock instead of themselves. What a perfect example of that Jesus was, huh? Who's all about the flock. The flock needs a Savior. And I'll do anything and everything to protect my flock. What a shepherd is not, one who tries to take advantage of the flock for personal gain. And yet sometimes in the world today, you'll see shepherds that really aren't shepherds, that take advantage of people or take advantage of the flock for personal gain. What a shepherd is not, one who does not feel they need to be accountable to God. They should be accountable to God. But there's some who are not. And if they're not, are they really a shepherd? I'd like to see this as an analogous to something, because some of you probably have already shut off this morning and say, well, the gift of Pastor Shepherd, that ain't me, that's the pastor. Like, it's in the title of the sermon this morning. You know, I thought only the preacher had that gift. But I don't believe that is the case at all. In fact, some of you who have taken that spiritual gifts inventory or test, maybe some of you had the gift of Pastor Shepherd. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are behind the pulpit on a Sunday morning preaching. And I'll get to that in just a moment. The gift of Pastor Shepherd might be analogous perhaps even to a spiritual parent who's watching over the kids, taking care of them, shepherding them, leading them to where they need to eat or feeding them when they need to be fed. Or a coach, a really good coach of a team is all about the team. They're not about themselves. They're about whatever they can do to help the team to do what they need to do, to be what they need to be, to protect them when they're hurt and all those kinds of things. Or it may be analogous to something like this, a supervisor, or as the scriptures themselves say, Acts 20:28, an overseer of the group of people that you have under your care. You see, this gift is a leadership gift. Shepherd, pastor is. Last week we talked about exhortation. That too is a leadership gift. I mean, you are, in a sense, over others, are responsible for others if you have this gift and use it the way God intends it to be used. But let me do this, and I'm going to get into the Acts text in just a moment here, but I want to do this too to give us an idea of what this might look like in us, this gift. Some would say that sometimes those who have the gift of pastor shepherd are supposed to be a jack of all trades. But if you have this gift, you're perhaps the master of one. Usually this gift is teamed up with another gift. Could be either, and let me use this term, could either be a speaking gift or a ministering gift. And let me hash that out just a little bit. Oftentimes, a pastor, teacher, that gift is teamed up with something like maybe the gift of evangelism or prophecy or teaching or, as I just said last week, exhortation. These are shepherds primarily with voice. I would compare these to people in the Bible like Peter and Paul. Paul wrote a lot of letters. Peter wrote some. Peter was there at the day of Pentecost, and he's speaking with the crowds that were gathered there. And he had the gift of pastor, shepherd, but also one of teaching or exhortation. As a profession or as a position, that could be your senior pastor, could be a Sunday school teacher, leader of a Bible study group. They're all leaders in some sense. Or in your home, as the parent of your children, you are pastor, shepherd, and you want to shepherd them along. This gift could also be teamed up with, as I said, more like a ministering gift, like mercy or serving or giving or administration. These are shepherds. They shepherd primarily by ministering. Remember I said the other one is shepherds primarily with voice? This one is shepherds primarily by ministering. Let me give you what I think is more me, and you might agree or disagree. Because that, of course, my gift, the highest gift I had there was pastor shepherd. But I think that the gifts that are teamed with that are more things like mercy and serving for me. I'm more like Barnabas and Stephen. Even though I have the gift of pastor, shepherd, and teaching, I lean more towards mercy and serving and hands-on. As a profession or a position, this could be a visitation pastor or a daycare provider or a volunteer nursing program director or something like that. These are kind of positions that one might have in a more of a professional sense that would experience those kinds of manifestations of that gift. They are leaders too. You see, Barnabas took in Mark when Paul wouldn't. because Mark had messed up earlier. And Paul was saying, I got to get on with ministry. I got to get on with the teaching. I get on with doing these things. And Barnabas said, but I want to show mercy, and I want Mark to come along with me because he's still salvageable. And it was a few years later that Paul took him back and said, I want Mark back with me. You see how the body of Christ works in a variety of ways? You see how these gifts can be used in so many different ways that the whole body benefits by having people with different gifts. If we're all a hand, we'd be no use to anybody because we need the whole body to go with it. And so as we share these things, I want you to think about this. And if these are gifts that you may have, how could I use them? And maybe God is calling you to use a gift like this with your family. Maybe God is calling you to use a gift like this in some kind of a teaching endeavor. Or maybe God is calling you to use a gift like this as you show mercy and serving and some of those things in an organized effort to let people know God cares about you and God loves you. Paul gives a charge to the Ephesians. I'm going to go back to that. In Acts 20, 28, here's what he says. Because he's concerned, just like in the church today. He's concerned with people who are watching out for themselves. He's concerned with people who become selfish. He's concerned with people who have not listened to their shepherd, God himself, and they're messed up. And here he is, his farewell to the leaders of the church, because he says, I'm not going to see you anymore. And here's what he says in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. What is their responsibility as shepherds? Keep watch over the flock. Care about those whom God has given you to care about. You can't do it on your own, because the second part of this is right there in the verse as well. Use the Holy Spirit's strength when you do what you do. Folks, if we try to do these things in our own strength, they're no longer a spiritual gift. It's just a physical endeavor on our part. When we are empowered by God to do what he calls us to do through the Holy Spirit, then it truly becomes a spiritual gift and not just whatever, a natural talent. There's a difference between the two. A natural talent can still allow you to do good things, but if that natural talent is endued by the Holy Spirit and it's a spiritual gift, more powerful things can be done with that than could ever be done in my own strength. And I want you to get that with all of these gifts. Use the Holy Spirit's strength, just as Paul told the church. For I, he says right here, let me get back to the verse again. Verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Don't forget that. He is the shepherd of shepherds, and he gave his life so that the flock would be okay. They would be safe. We are called to be responsible. Don't forget that he paid for it. You know, you'll find with sheep, by the way, and I'll end with this. When I was a shepherd of the sheep on the farm, over a few years of shepherding the sheep, I could go out into the flock, and they felt safe around me. They wouldn't run all over the place and scatter because they knew I was the one who would bring food to them and care for them, and I was a good guy to the sheep. I noticed something changed, though, after I left the farm for a few years. And that story is God led me into ministry to be a shepherd of people instead of sheep. And my brother took over the farm. Came back a few years later. Now, probably some of the sheep were gone and dead by the time, you know, I came back. I came back. The flock didn't know me. And so when I went out to be with the sheep, they'd scatter. But when Eric went out with the sheep, they kind of hung around. You know, the shepherd knows their sheep. Jesus knows his sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and they respond to that loving presence of God. So he is our shepherd. And we ought to be shepherds to those who God has put under our care, whether you've got the spiritual gift or not. As I said the last few weeks, we all are to exercise these things in people's lives, even if it's not our spiritual gift, it's not our strength. We're still called to serve. We're still called to show mercy. We're still called to exhort, and we're still called to be shepherds to those that God has given us to be shepherds to. Don't forget. Because Paul tells the church, the wolves are coming. So be ready. The wolves are coming. And I think the world we live in today, the wolves are coming. The wolves are coming, and you and I need to be ready. Ready to lay down our life as Christ laid down his life for us. He tells us in Romans 12 to be living sacrifices. That's what we're called to do. You know, the life as Christians isn't easy. It's not peaches and cream. Sometimes we're called to be living sacrifices. That means to let go of all that is mine, to leave it there for the purposes of helping someone else. I'm willing to sacrifice because the wolves are coming and we need to be ready. Verse 29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flocks. Sometimes these wolves are in sheep's clothing. Sometimes the wolves might actually be inside what we call the church. Watch out for wolves. I'm just saying this morning as I close,